It is Thursday, the 20th of October, and this is episode 97 of Digital Outbox. Another sunny episode of Digital Outbox coming to your iTunes or other media device.
That's not other. Come on.
No, it's true for podcasts anyway. I'm joined by Ian. I am Chris. Hello, Ian.
I am Chris.
Yep. It's all coming out in slightly the wrong order, but we'll crack on anyway, shall we? But it's been a while since our last chat. Lots been going on, I guess. One thing I have to say is I've been outdone by my parents. So I got home the other day to my parents sitting in front of a brand new Samsung 40X inch like 3D TV with 3D Blu-ray player and a Humax box. I don't know what's going on, but they've done me in. I didn't understand it.
You lot ate.
Yeah, absolutely. So now my parents do watch 3D movies.
You're so 2009.
Someone has bought 3D. I was pretty jealous, actually. It's an amazing TV. But yeah, there we go, jealous. But I've been on a gadget buying spree as well. We are now brought to you entirely by Mac.
Woohoo! I had to do that for Henry. If it was Henry, it would have been woohoo!
So you were worried about the fact that you're not very well lit at the moment in your recording studio.
Yeah.
But all you have to do is sit in front of a whopping great Mac and another second 24-inch monitor, and the amount of radiation that you get. So I'm surrounded by screens at the moment.
What makes me chuckle is I think back to your tweet when you put it up and saying, "Is this enough?" And and I looked at these screens and I was thinking, "What a tart." And I commented, "Where's the iPad?" I think. And it was only 2 minutes later, I was like, "What the? That was an iMac."
What's that Apple logo doing in the middle there? Yeah, so I'm transitioning at the moment. I still haven't made it quite away from the PC all the week because I've just got the pain of trying to remember all your passwords that you rely on browser cookies for.
God, what a pain.
Yeah, well, you'd still have to try. Well, yeah, okay, fair enough. Whatever. Whatever.
So I can't let you escape without. What size?
Oh, the huge one.
Ideal.
Ridiculously huge.
And what processor?
The big one.
Okay. SSD?
No. That's the only thing I didn't do.
How much RAM?
I can't remember. 8, I think, because I thought if I want 16, I'll go and buy it.
Yeah.
To be honest, like everyone says, it's probably best just to buy 4 and go and get your own, but I just couldn't be asked.
No, it absolutely is, because I was only going to buy another 4 and then Tam picked up 16 and I thought I can't really let them beat me. There was no other reason. It was £40 to match it, and I thought, yeah.
It's very beautiful, has to be said. Very beautiful. Let's get on with some news though. It's that long since we did our podcast that we haven't actually talked about Steve Jobs passing.
No.
Everyone out there will have known about that and heard about it. I doubt we're breaking that news to anyone, but a sad day.
I must admit, I was tempted to do breaking news: a dictator has died, and do some sort of Gaddafi joke. But that's
too soon. Yeah, too soon. But no, it was a sad day. I mean, for me, the saddest thing about the whole affair was the fact that he worked up until his very last days. You kind of want someone to have a bit of time with their family before they lose out. So it was a very sad thing. And there's been a lot of nice words said out there.
I guess what struck it for me is he is like the kind of, somebody said he was like the tech Elvis or the tech, it was like the tech John Lennon passing away. And it has got that, I mean, for me, I'm not saying I was all emotional and crying and all that kind of stuff, but there was something different about, him passing than it would be, one of the Google bosses passing.
Yeah,
there's an attachment.
Any
I don't know what
anonymous modern day company head, it just wouldn't even make the news. So that, and we've so yeah, we've lost someone in the tech community and wider as well. I think the fact that it made such big news everywhere is quite telling, really. And yeah, another, you know, we mentioned it when he actually stepped down as head. You know, we've lost another sort of unique person, really, to a lot of clones, supposedly. We'll see. But anyway, but sad news, and but Apple seem to be trouncing on no matter what. They're still huge, and they're rolling out all their stuff.
Well, I don't know how you fared last week. The whole iOS updates for me were fairly painful, and it's the first time I've felt so much pain, I must admit.
It's one of the downsides of everyone, so many devices and so many going out on one day.
I always felt it was a bit of a fatal flaw that it was iOS 5 plus iTunes plus the Mac update plus iCloud all in the same day.
It doesn't get any bigger than that.
No.
to coin MasterChef.
That's so random.
It was random.
To quote MasterChef.
Pretty random today. So yes, now it was very slow downloading for me, as you might expect. I saw a Plusnet tweeted out a network graph of what iOS 5 did to their network, and pretty much it destroyed them.
Yes, BT
compared to a normal.
And I know BT owned Plusnet, but BT, you know, pushed out their own one as well and said it was the biggest ever day of traffic. It was just massive.
Yes, and they had to sort of prioritize things differently to get you know, to make sure people could actually still use the internet. Anyway, so it was a massive thing. And downloads were slow for me, and my iPad didn't update properly first time round. But overall, considering the size of everything and what else was going on, and it was pretty impressive still. I know I think a lot of people suffered probably more than I did. So you had a problem with your iCloud, didn't you?
I had a problem with every device that I had. So I've got the iPhone, the iPad, and my mother's now my best customer in the house. My mother's iPod Touch. Even had to buy a new router because the old one was failing. I'd come home from work and say, we've lost internet again. Oh, okay, I'll go and reboot the router. So I actually bought an AirPort Extreme, and it just works. Funnily enough.
For a bit, anyway.
No, but I've got a happy customer. It's great.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm only here to please the customer. But no, each device, I had to. I was basically getting errors. The first night I got the 3200 error, which was basically once the update actually downloaded pretty quick for me. But once it was downloaded, it has to talk back to the server to authenticate and say, yeah, this is all pucker. And Apple's servers were just swamped, so it was just basically timing out. And then there was lots of these 3200 errors. So I thought, right, leave it, just wait a day. And the next day, after each device, it would fail with an error 45 or -1 or -10, and it was basically, the advice was, reboot your Mac. And sure enough, you reboot the Mac, installed. Went to do the iPhone, different error, reboot the Mac, installed. Went to do the iPod Touch, same again. It's just all a bit painful.
I mean there's two things to this. You would normally say, well, why don't you just spread your updates out, you know, do it geographically, whatever. Firstly, that's going to cause problems. But secondly, because it's so integrated, it's an all or nothing thing, isn't it? Especially because there were so many things here that it wasn't just new features. It was all about iCloud and the integrations and stuff. So it needed to be all at once or nothing at all, really.
Yeah, iCloud failed for me for a couple of days. But then once it was enabled, it seems to be, touch a bit of wood, it seems to be working fine.
I haven't noticed it because I've not really tried.
Well, I've just noticed the, you know, install an app in one device, installs another. Calendar updates are all happening properly. And I've done some checks with bookmarks and address books, and they're all syncing fine. I have seen a few tweets from people just saying all my contacts have just been wiped. So I think there are some, and I think that's to be expected. I think every sync service we've seen over the years has had teething troubles. So there's I fully expect there to be problems. Yeah. iOS 5, are you fairly happy with the update?
Yeah, I'm sure there is lots of features in there somewhere, but, you know, day-to-day using, you just use it in the same way, don't you? Notifications is the biggest noticeable difference.
Yeah, and I felt the same, and I've been using the developer beta, so it feels, you know, I feel like it's a 3-month old you know, update.
Yeah. I mean, but from a new, so I haven't even looked at the beta before now, and say notifications is really the only thing that you notice on a day to day basis, and a good update.
The one big thing for me was Newsstand. Throughout the beta, there was just no content in Newsstand whatsoever. And on the first day, I just tweeted up, "How does Newsstand work? I've heard nothing from any publisher, from Apple, about how this is going to, you know, integrate." But I've been very impressed. So there's
we've had lots of announcements since, haven't we? So now we kind of know how it's going to work.
Well, there was 22 updates for the iPad from app developers on Wednesday, and a lot of them were all related to Newsstand. And one of the ones that I've been using now is Guardian. So Guardian launched their iPad app last week. Very nice app. Lots of content on it. It's free for the first 90 days. So it's been sponsored by Channel 4, and then it turned into a £10 a month subscription. So there's I guess they're trying to get people hooked and convince you that it's worthwhile buying. Yeah,
£10 a month is quite a lot. In the mobile arena. I know it's probably not a lot, you know, whatever, but.
And it feels a lot, but over the last week I've actually got more and more out of it. So it supports Newsstand, and it is doing the download overnight. So you pick the iPad up in the morning and your copy of The Guardian's on the iPad.
When we talked about the iPad first off, that is exactly what we said would sell it. I'd like to, if they could do it Fiverr, be more tempting for me, I think.
Well, it could be more tempting for everybody.
Yeah, of course it would be, but I don't think I'd pay tenner. I pay £5 a month already for my Spotify.
Yes.
I don't really want to pay a tenner for a month for my news when, again, you've just got those options where you can go and get it for free.
I guess it depends if you were buying The Guardian daily. You know, so if you were currently paying £1 a day and you're seeing it as, well, I can pay, I guess, I think it works out about 50p a day or whatever. If you're getting a half price and you're getting the same content and it's on there and it's all good with some video and, you know, rich photos and all that good stuff, then fine.
I'd like to see them experiment with the whole, you know, price to the number of subscribers model, because I think they might see more if they cut down a bit.
And I think it's all I think for all the especially newspapers, this is all a dip in the toe. How does it all work?
Yeah.
A couple of big things for me. Wired is going to support it as well, but they've also confirmed that if you're a print subscriber, you get the iPad edition for free. So that's a really good sign.
The right choice. Yeah, good.
Empire have also confirmed the same. So starting to see a bit of a shift, and it all seems to be a shift around about Newsstand. So it's a shame it's taken this long, but maybe it needed the big enough market that enough people have got iPads now to justify the investment for people to go and buy the content.
Now, you can maybe explain this for me. Are they all of the same format and style?
No,
all individual apps hook in?
What Newsstand basically does is it's almost like a fancy folder. So it's grouping together all your different apps, but it also gives access to, I think what's been described as a super notification. So Apple have allowed, if you subscribe to Newsstand, you're allowed to send out one of these super notifications a day. So Guardian can send out one a day, and it says, new app available, and it lets then, if you can support Newsstand, it lets you download in the background. And if you know what Apple are like with things working in the background, they're usually, you know, usually all very guarded. But that's one of the unique features about Newsstand. It does allow you to do a download in the background, so the content's going to be there. So that's a nice thing for me. You know, your magazine content, I don't have to, oh, there's a new edition, click download, you know, wait half an hour or wait 20 minutes depending on, you know, what your connection's like. You're picking up and going, and you're seeing that you've got new content delivered to you. But you still, each format is different.
Yeah, so you still have to get used to the multiple different ways of working or whatever.
Some of them are horrid. And there's been a little bit of debate. I guess it depends who you follow on Twitter, but there's a little bit of debate around the different content. I mean, if I look at Guardian, to me, has been working really well. Wired, it's okay, but the text isn't, you know, I can't search on it, I can't select it, I can't do these kind of things. There's a magazine from Future called Tap, which is all about iOS devices. They've actually built an iPad app to develop the iPad Tap version. And it's fully searchable text. I can highlight it. I can copy it. They've went to a lot of effort. And it takes a lot of effort. But if you look at the other Future titles, it's basically a PDF. It doesn't even remember where you finished off. Each time you launch it, it starts you back at the start again.
Which, yes. But I still think that a system whereby it just offers PDF effectively versions of these things, but there was much cheaper. You know, effectively, they put these PDFs to press anyway, so why not offer a really cheap, easy way of getting them onto your iPad? probably more compelling for me. I'm not that fussed. I don't think about all the snazzy future stuff.
And that's a good point. I actually get a bit snobby about it. It's like I want a better quality. I want to know where I was and all that good stuff. I'm not so fussed about getting video and that kind of thing. But Future have put all their, and I think we're into November issues now in magazines, even though we're October. But they've basically, for most of their iPad apps, they've said the September editions are all now free. So you can actually go and try. You can download, you know, September's copy of Edge, .NET, Mac Format, all those kind of magazines have got a free edition now. So you can actually go and try it and see, you know, is it something you're interested in?
Sensible choice, I think.
And they've also said they've seen a pretty sizable increase in their revenue stream since Newsstand came out.
So they're also getting, they're actually making the sales, which is good news.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good stuff. That's might as well talk about the iPhone 4S as well. Again, it seems a long time ago that it's all announced and stuff. But did we talk about it last time? I can't even remember. It was just after the announcement, wasn't it?
It was just after the keynote, and it was just before Steve Jobs passed away. So we were in that kind of little bubble in between.
So I guess the big thing now is that people have got their hands on Siri in the wild and have played around with it and done all the silly things that people do when you get a new little tool like that. And they found some funny bits and bobs about it. And generally speaking, it kind of works, yet the biggest drawback is that if you're not American, then it's not really hooked up to any services that are going to make it useful, which it obviously needs to going forward.
I need to hold my hand up. I had a moment of weakness. Midweek, 2 days before the 4S launched, myself and Shaquille decided we're going to go and buy iPhone 4Ss. So I negotiated a price with my boss. He was quite happily going to buy my old one. Shaq sold his within 2 minutes on AV forums. So he had it sent off. We didn't pre-order. We thought there would be not much queues. You know, people are kind of being a bit blasé about it. Tactical error. So we've now got two Apple stores in Glasgow, not just one, but two, and both were sold out by lunchtime.
Mad, isn't it?
And so Shaq eventually ordered online. We also tried Siri in the store, and that's the first time I saw the maps and the restaurants not working. Because first of all, it was struggling in the store to get my accent, but I think what I've read now, it struggles in noisy places. It actually needs quite a quiet, not quiet, but it needs a good quality audio because it's starting to pick up all the background noise as well.
So that video with the guy jogging along, setting a reminder, is probably a little bit...
I think the jogging would work fine. But from what I've read, it's like even offices, people are starting to struggle just because there's chatter in the background and they're having to, you know, hush down folk. Blah, 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 blah. But I've seen lots of demos now and it does seem to work well. I tried it in the store. The first one didn't work. The second one worked. Tried a couple other things and I said, you know, show me the route to, I don't know, and I picked some place in Glasgow. And it popped this error about, I can't do this in the UK. And Shaki was like, it's because there's no SIM. And I went, no, that's telling me it can't do it in the UK. So I Googled while I was in the Apple store and I was like, no way, that's disappointing. So they basically have not got license deals for Yelp, etc. And they can't use it via the Siri service, which is a shame.
It does seem with these things that they have been relatively quick to get things up and running in other areas, whether they will be for this, because they still consider it beta as they keep making it clear. Unfortunately, it's a beta thing that they've put out into the wild. But I mean, yeah, so it is a shame that we can't use it quite as it's supposed to. Still, I mean, they've sold shed loads of them, doesn't it?
They sold, what, four, was it 4 million in 3 days?
So
it was double the rate of the iPhone 4.
So it's still on this curve, and I think there were a lot of people waiting for the new phone, and I think particularly it was people on the old 3GS are now coming to their time where they want to move up, and this is a good bet for them because it's iPhone 4B, isn't it? You know, it's the good version of the iPhone 4. They know that there's going to be another year before the next one comes out.
Well, and I think it's whatever you see if they'd put it in a new shell, nobody would have been complaining about it as some sort of update.
We said this last time.
I think it's a great device. It worked really well. I was quite surprised that the speed difference wasn't massive. It was snappier, but not wasn't like doubly fast. It wasn't iPad and iPad 2 is a big difference. But
there are reports
not,
that it has been clocked back a little bit.
It's clocked and it's not got the iPad's got double the RAM. iPad 2's got double the RAM of both the 4S and the iPhone 4 and the iPad. So I think
it's probably,
that helps.
And it's probably clocked back to stop you burning your leg every time you put it in your pocket.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it seems that they found their market, which is, you know, 3GS. And it's, I guess it gives them a launch pad for next year, you know, changing the look of it. I think to swap the outer shell every year would be a nightmare for all the peripheral manufacturers. I mean, the fact they've given them a run now where they can actually still use the same designs and stuff is
almost
it's much more reasonable, it seems.
I've decided not to buy an iPhone 4S. So I've kind of came to my senses over the weekend, looked at finances and thought, calm your spurs. You know, there's no need. Shaq's obviously buying one because he sold his. But
he jumped before looking.
But his father's picked up a 4S and got it already because he got it on a new contract. And interestingly, when you go to buy a case, Apple are actually warning you that the mute and the volume buttons are slightly different, so not all cases will fit.
Okay, so if they're really tight onto those buttons, it won't quite work. Okay. Well, that's interesting that they did change a little bit then.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to move down. I think we've covered everything on Apple, haven't we?
Yeah, I think so.
So I guess let's get onto BoxNet, which I guess you were looking for alternatives to the cloud when this offer came in your inbox.
I guess Box are competitors to Dropbox, competitors to iCloud service, and they've basically said if you download either the iPhone or iPad app over the next 50 days, you'll get 50 gig free for life, which is a fair loop.
And that's 50 gig just a static storage, effectively having an online storage.
And it doesn't, Box doesn't work the same way as Dropbox. You can share data on the cloud, but it's not like you have a drive sitting on your Mac or your PC or any device that you can simply share. It's a bit more restricted than that. However, they are starting to develop seemingly a similar service. They are looking to have a Mac client and a Windows client in the future, but they won't commit to when. But I mean, they've increased the file upload limit from 25 meg to 100 meg. It's a nice way of backing up data. You know, if you were,
yeah, I mean, 100 meg still, it's still not massive if you're in the arena of, you know, making graphic files and things like that, big Photoshop files, but it's much more reasonable than 25 meg, that's for sure.
A free 50 gig account isn't to be sniffed at, considering if you wanted that in iCloud, it's $100 a year.
Yeah. Which is still not a lot, to be honest, but, you know.
No.
Yeah. Yep, so take a look at that, box.net. Big story of the week. In fact, it probably a little over a week ago now, isn't it? But BlackBerry,
wah.
BlackBerry cocked up, and effectively they lost out. They lost their internet connection effectively because someone in Slough probably weren't doing their job properly, which is quite funny.
And instantly, I thought of the office.
Of course, you did.
I everybody did. I had the music in my head.
Yeah,
I could see a David Brent going, oh, failed again.
Oh, what's happened? Oh, something. Oh, it's not that important. Not that important. No. Yeah. So for 3 days, BlackBerry lost out its Twitter, Facebook, its Messenger service, and there was no internet connection. So emails was all affected. For the consumers, I believe that the business users were still just about okay with email and things like that, although they were still affected.
But I probably can't say anymore.
But they have apologized. Said, sorry, yes, we're a phone manufacturer and we can't run our service. But everyone's saying this is another death knell for RIM.
A couple of shocking things. Only 3 days. You know what I mean? See in the grand scheme of things.
And it's not like you couldn't use your phone to call.
The economies around the world are crashing. You know? We're seeing massive poverty in many areas. We're seeing starvation around the world, but no.
But I can't get my tweets.
Yeah, exactly. It was a bad time for it to happen directly prior to the 4S launch and a whole smattering of new Android 4 devices that are going to hit the market soon.
It's poor, and if you had a BlackBerry, you'd have been annoyed. And you would have been up in arms and going, what the heck? You know,
I would have been annoyed with myself for having a BlackBerry.
Look at the ground and look like you're sorry. Yeah. Anyway, so it's not like you couldn't use it as a phone, which is what it is. But yes, it wasn't the best news in the world, and I'm sure it didn't go down very well. But anyway, done now. I'm sure it will be forgotten.
Second little point, all this internet traffic going through Slough, the Guardian reported that they deal with 8 gigabytes of data every second. That's phenomenal. And it was it was basically quite scathing that when they started this all off, it all made sense, but it's just not been able to scale properly to the rich video sharing community we're now in. You know, everybody wants, you know, a lot of rich data. It was fine if it was just BBM and some tweets, but it's not.
It's the eternal problem, though, of, you know, you can test back. It's effectively, they said that one of their switches went down, which is, you know, it happens, and most people have backup switches, which they did apparently, but that also failed. And it's the eternal thing of, you know, you run simulations and it works, but in real life things just don't happen ever quite as smoothly. So they're both switches went down, and that's a big problem because it takes a long time to get everything back up and running, especially when you then have a massive backlog of data waiting to come down your pipes.
$100 in free apps are yours if you're a BlackBerry owner.
Specific apps or any app?
I think there's 12 apps. There's 12 apps that you're able to download.
How to spend spare time when not on internet.
Pretty much. One of them is poker. So.
Yeah, ironically, I bet you need an internet connection to run all these.
Probably. And it's probably just another way of getting them into... What do you mean there's an app store? There's an app store in BlackBerry?
Yeah. Right, Google have been making more chops, calling it Google's full sweep, but effectively announcing more applications and confirming other applications that will be chopped out of their portfolio, including the Google Labs idea. So that's going, as we have announced this before, but we've got confirmation that their code search is disappearing. That was where you could search for open source code. Google Buzz is being chopped off finally, which surprised it's lasted this long, with Google Plus out there on top of it. The iProfile that they were running out in their sort of browsers, which was the sort of precursor, I guess, to having social features from Google, that's being replaced by Google Plus. So you need a Google Plus account now to have all that running nice, you know, customized searches and stuff like that for you. What else have I missed?
There was JQ. I'm sure I'm pronouncing it wrong, but that was basically a Twitter rival that a lot of people thought when Twitter first launched and it had all the flakiness. JQ was a far richer client, and Google bought it. But basically, they bought it, and it just
it's really famous, really took off.
Well, they just killed it. There was no promotion. They never did anything with it.
They probably wanted the people and the technology.
But it is like a lot of Google products. I mean, see if you look at all the things they've launched.
Yeah.
It's scary.
And also, again, for all that we like what Google does, they do squash innovation some places.
Yeah.
But then they take it on board and don't do anything with it.
I think all the big ones do to a certain extent. There's a whole lot of things that Facebook have bought up and then they just kind of disappear.
It's cheaper to get them in the early stages.
And there's a couple of announcements that have just happened tonight. Actually, Google Reader is going to go through a bit of a makeover. So not only front-end wise, starting to integrate, you know, I guess the look and feel will be similar to the Gmail, Google Plus that we've seen. So the black bar at the top and all that nonsense. But they're actually removing some of the sharing features and kind of almost forcing the sharing in through Google Plus. So that's going to roll out over the next week or so. And they've also confirmed that Google Plus is coming to the Google apps for your domain. So if you're actually a paying customer for Google, you're going to finally be able to get on Google Plus.
Yeah, I mean, if you visit it at the moment, it just says it's not there at the moment, but we're working on it. So obviously this is an announcement saying, just moving that on a bit and saying it's definitely coming. Good. YouTube, they've announced rentals. Well, in fact, that's not true. They've had rentals for a bit and they've had free movies for a bit, but they're now, it's a bigger service now, it looks like. So there's some big releases rather than the old just B movies basically or whatever.
But they're all in DVD quality. None of them are HD.
Yeah, I get the I was a bit undecided about this because most of the time you're going to be watching this on a computer screen, and do you want the extra delay and of, you know, waiting for an HD to come down? And
just
can
imagine,
you stream it?
Just imagine you're two elderly. You're two people that have just bought a fantastically, I don't know, expensive new 3D TV that's also in HD. And you're streaming content to your TV and you think, that YouTube rental looks a business. And then they phone you up and say, Christopher, we're watching this movie and it's very pixelated. And I don't know if we've made a bad choice with the telly.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. I mean, maybe you're right. It's going to come. It's going to be there. Yeah. they're already watching iPlayer on their TV. It's got web TV. They can browse the internet on their TV.
You sound such a buddy when you said that.
I know. There's that internet thing, and you can do it on your TV. So anyway, yeah. So then we've got some. They've released the Senna's movie. They've got the Dark Knight coming out. Basically, new movies costing £3.49. You have 30 days to start watching, and 48 hours once you've started to finish watching. A sensible move. They've had it in the US for a little bit, so it just took a little while to come over here, basically, but it's here now.
Yep.
There we go. Google Books, their ebook store, effectively. Is it US only or is it everywhere? It's everywhere they've released it.
It was been US only for about a year and a half, and they're finally now launched in the UK. So up until now, you couldn't basically use it. And now you can. It's bringing, I think, some other one of these crazy kind of, it brings 2 million books or whatever.
Which is fine, but you can't use it on your Kindle. you can use it anywhere else but your Kindle.
So hundreds of thousands of books for sale, as well as more than 2 million public domain ebooks for free.
Yeah, I think, is it EPUB format that you use? Is that, I can't remember which way around it is.
Yes, one, anyway. Because that's not the format that Kindle uses.
Kindle uses something else, yeah. So, but basically, you can use it on any device other than a Kindle. So, there's apps for Android and Apple, iPad. So, you can still consume, and you can consume on your PC or whatever as well.
Pretty much. But I think these are plays into to help the tablets along. You know, so you've got your rentals and your movies and your books and all that kind of good stuff.
And gosh, don't those tablets need a bit of a kick up the ass?
Aye.
So, but let's touch on to some Android devices. And the first one is a little, it's called Moto Active without the I.
And
effectively, it's like a little, yeah, indeed. So it's kind of basically, it's like a iPod Nano replacement. It plays music. It tracks your heart rate. Has a little pedometer in it. Has GPS as well. And effectively, it's a workout tool.
It's a Nano, but costs more money.
Bizarrely. Yeah. So this is costing quite a lot of money. How much is it costing?
It's $249 for 8 gig.
That is. I mean, it's basically, it looks like a watch.
Yeah,
I think, and you wear it on your wrist, and that's it. But yeah, $249 is a lot of money, and considering, you know, you can get like the Amazon Fire in the US for less than that, and you can get the Nano for a lot less than that.
The Nano, I'm just having to check the American price. $129 for 8 gig.
So that's $130 cheaper.
Yeah,
you know that's a big. That's a big wadge of cash for relatively similar spec, basically.
Considering the headline features are much the same, I think that's a bit that jumped out to me. It was like, ooh. That's...
Good luck, Moto Active.
Yeah.
Without the I and the E. the Droid Razor. Now, the Razor brand used to be cool at one stage in the old phone stakes. But this thing is just a massive... A Droid phone, basically.
I think we should point out that I think every Android phone from now on is going to be massive.
It seems that way, doesn't it? They're all going down this big screen route.
So this will
certainly fill a pocket.
Yeah, this has got a 4.0. I was laughing today because we're saying how if you go back, you know, 8-9 years and you had big Nokias and it was all about getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And it's got to this point, it's like
inverted. The point where you couldn't hold them anymore. It's like,
yeah. Well, I remember there was this crazy Sony Ericsson. And I want to say it was like an 800 or something. It had little buttons that were thin and narrow.
And, I do remember that, yes.
And you could, and I was like,
rigid.
I'm like, I can't use this. I know it's the latest new one, but I don't really want it. But we're now going the other way. So basically, you will have the what was the thing? What was the program with the big mobile phone?
Crikey.
Old men tonight. We can't remember things. I know it was Dom Jolly.
That's gonna hurt.
I know it was Dom Jolly. The worst thing is we're sitting here with like the best computers in the world.
We could just search it.
In fact, I could just.
We had Siri. We could ask it.
I have, and it says it's trigger happy.
There we go. That's it. Yeah. all the listeners are going, fuck, trigger happy.
No, there was three people going, oh Jesus, I'm going to switch off.
Yeah, well, that is all our listeners. Right.
So anyway, the Droid Racer, 4.3-inch Super AMOLED display. It's a dual core 1.2 gigahertz. I mean, so crazy stats. Absolutely crazy stats. But it looked quite thin. So they seem
to use the Razer to use the Razer brand, they kind of had to make it not thin enough for my liking though.
No, but it has like big lips and then a really thin bit in the middle. No, it does. It's like there's these big end bits where the camera is and I guess all the gubbins are. And but it is only 7.1 mil, you know, so that is fairly tiny.
Yeah, I've still got my Razer set over there somewhere, and I've also got my my old Orange MV500, which people used to laugh at me because it was basically a PDA that had a phone in it. But nowadays that's quite small and compact.
Yeah, it can do 1080p video, it's got 1 gig of RAM, it's got an 8-megapixel camera, it's got 16 gig onboard storage, and it can take another 16 gig via an SD card. It is stacked, but I just don't like big phones like that.
But everyone I've listened to who has reviewed them has kind of, or reviewed these, the latest trend in big phones, has said that they're kind of split. So there's people who like their phone as a phone, but then there's other people who like their, you know, their tablet, but don't want a massive iPad to carry around. Yep. And they're saying this is a great compromise on the size. And here's another thing. With my parents' TV came a free Galaxy S Tab, one of the smaller ones, as a remote control for the TV.
That is fantastic.
I tell you what, holding it in real life, it is, even though it's quite large and it's probably of a similar sort of size.
I'm going to cut that bit of audio out.
Holding it in your hand, being of that size, it feels surprisingly natural, as in, and it will fit in your pocket. It fits comfortably in your pocket. Is that a Galaxy Tab in your pocket? Yeah.
I'm loving how you had a second go at saying that to try and make it better.
It didn't work.
No. Holding it in my hand felt so natural.
Yes. Anyway, let's get on to another one. The Galaxy Nexus, which is another whopper. So this is
bigger.
Effectively it's the next gen Google phone, effectively.
And that's why it's such a big launch. This was the biggie this week.
So it's coming out to America soon, or is it already out? It's one of the two. It's close anyway.
It's here and America in November.
So it's not too long away now. Nope. But it is all the latest specs. They're whacking everything in here, including ice cream sandwich. So it's going to have the latest operating system in there, which is standard for the next big Google release. We got sort of full HD recording on video, phones and stuff, video and camera. And I guess all the other specs are pretty standard, what you might expect from the really latest fast phones. But they've also is it a barometer? That's the latest sensor they've added in.
They've added a barometer, which just smacks me off like total.
What else can we put in here, guys? Kitchen sink won't fit. Let's whack a barometer in it.
Go gadget barometer.
You can see why you want the accelerometers and the gyroscopes and even the near field communication and the big screens. Barometer? Really? They're kind of pushing, you know, I don't know. It's a bit strange. Never mind.
A couple of things they did, I think, that was worth pointing out. This is a 720p phone. And I think what they're saying is the kind of Android 4 standard they're wanting to try and push, its native resolution is going to be 720p for a phone. Mm. So that's quite important.
That is 1280 by 720.
Yes. And secondly, it's also got NFC. So near field communication module has been added as well.
Yeah, and they're talking about using that. I mean, we'll come on to Ice Cream Sandwich next, but they're going to use that for a bit like Bluetooth, I guess. So communication between two NFC devices can happen through that chip rather than through anything else. So interesting use.
If you're an Android user, I guess you're going to, I mean, you're already are spoiled for choice. I mean, you can have any phone you like, any shape you like. But I think if you're going to buy one now, it's probably worth waiting 2-3 weeks and letting this one come out, because I think that's going to blow everything away again.
The reason I waited for my Nexus S was because it's the big Google release that you know is going to be supported for 2 years. The same with this, it will be supported and will keep up to date with the latest operating systems for the next 2 years, which is obviously going to be the length of your contract, because something like that don't come cheap, basically. So yeah, if you're looking for an Android phone, then and you you're happy to have it in your pocket, go for it. Let's touch on Ice Cream Sandwich. So they have Google have announced that they're going to call it version 4 effectively. And they've also told us that the features that are going to be in there, of which I guess it's all tweaking and niceties.
I think it reminds me of where I think it's both Android and iOS have got to that level of maturity now, where the features are, yes, and they're good to see, but they're not, it's not, you know, groundbreaking.
Well, I mean, by all accounts, it's going to look and feel different, which is more than can be said for iOS for the last number of years. And that shows absolutely the difference. Again, they're quite happy to change how things are looking and feeling, whereas iOS, the whole point is that everything remains familiar.
But I think, there is a difference. iOS is hitting a handful of devices, as in, you know, there's an iPhone 3GS, iPhone 4, 4S, and a couple of iPads, and that's about it. Whereas Android is we're releasing it, and I guess where I've always thought they've had the issue is each of the manufacturers then putting the skins on top.
And yeah, and they've kind of trying to cut down on that now, I think. I think they're trying to limit that a bit more, and I think because they realise it's a stumbling block.
But I think by focusing more on design, and I'm not saying that Android phones were ugly before, because I need to watch what I say. It comes across as I'm trying to, like, you know, almost fanboy say, oh, they're rubbish. But I think looking fuel-wise, it was always very different because, the manufacturers could, you know, do their differences, and I think that was one of their ways of trying to differentiate. You know, look, we've got a fantastic UI in front of top of something like Android, whereas some of them would be more bog standard ones. It was fairly, you know, plain, quite basic. And I think what they've done this time is they have focused on design. I've linked to this is my next article, where they actually talked to the guy behind the UI who was involved with WebOS and a few other notable, you know, mobile platforms. So he's, and they have, and this is also, I mean, this is a unification between Honeycomb, which was tablet only, and...
Yes, they're bringing everything back together, so this will operate your tablets and also your phone, which is a sensible choice.
And I like the look of it. I mean, certainly the screenshots I saw, and I've not seen any moving videos yet, so I've not had a chance to catch up on it too much, but certainly the screenshots I saw looked very nice.
Yeah, one of the big things is they're kind of getting rid of your hardware buttons. You have four buttons on the bottom of Android at the moment. They're going to reduce that down to three. The menu button, which used to be as a button that you could press, is now going to be up to developers to integrate however they want. And also, there are going to be buttons that are on screen for Android, and they just dim away if the developer doesn't want them sort of using up real estate.
Do you think that's a miss? I know some people that I work with have preferred having a couple of physical buttons rather than nothing.
And it works for me. And even though my buttons aren't actually pressable buttons, you know, some manufacturers make them pressable. Mine are sort of an additional area of the screen that's not part of the main screen. But they don't click or anything. You just touch them. Mm. I don't know. It's hard to say. I have got used to using the buttons, and you kind of get in that mindset of, you know, well, that's how I get to my settings, and that's how I go back in a browser and stuff. So actually, it's quite useful in many ways. But they're not getting rid of those. They're just getting rid of the menu button.
Oh, sorry. I thought they were actually doing away with all the physical buttons.
My bad. So they are going to be always there, but they're going to be soft buttons, but they are always there.
Yep.
They're doing some of the things. They're having folders on in your home screens, effectively. So you can just order things as you like. They're resizing widgets.
Well, I've got a big grin on my face like a massive cock. I just think back to all the Android saying, oh, look at these notifications getting copied from blooming Android. And, oh, look, I can drag an icon on top of another icon that makes a folder.
It's all bull mess.
Well, it's just everybody copies everybody, and if we just accept that and crack on, then...
Yeah, too right. Get the good bits and get them in.
Yep, absolutely.
They did copy notifications, though. new lock screen, and again, doing sort of similar things to Apple where you can action notifications from with the lock screen. You can get straight to your phone from the straight to your camera from the lock screen, straight to your phone from the lock screen. They've improved the text. I mean, it goes on and on, and they've sort of, again, more geeky stuff in there, so there's more customization. They've increased the camera functionality and tap to focus and things like that. So a lot of good stuff going on. Can't wait for it to come.
Face unlock.
Oh yeah, face unlocking. How awesome is that? Yes, you can look at your phone and it'll unlock, supposedly.
And the voice dictation they demoed was like, I mean, it was very quick. As the guy was talking, it was dictating, and it looked very impressive.
So it's supposed to be almost lagless voice dictation. So again, I've never really used those features in my phone. And
so was GT5 and the PS3.
And I think the camera actually updates. They're cracking on about how it's you can get straight in, and the shutter lag is almost invisible. So that all sounds good. I mean, that basically they've got an announcement document that goes for hours, so you can go and read it all if you want.
I mean, I've tried to summarize what I thought were the main bits. Oh, another one was this Android Beam. We just touched on it when we mentioned NFC earlier on to communicate. Yes. And I guess you'd quite accurately said it is similar to Bluetooth, so you should be able to then share between two NFC Android devices, contacts, videos, URLs, maps, a whole load of
things.
They had
to find some use for it, seeing as they're not using it for payments.
No, but they've also said that an API will be coming out, and they expect multiplayer games and all that kind of good stuff to be adapting.
So they're just
it as well.
Basically opening up that chip for use. Good news.
Yeah. Yes.
And it's considering how many devices there are out there that are running Android now, it's become more and more useful, I think. Let's move on to we did touch on this a little while back, saying it was probably a bad idea, but WH Smith are going to launch an e-book reader.
Interestingly, when we touched it earlier on, it was Waterstones.
Okay, so everyone's coming in. I thought maybe I should... So I'm talking rubbish.
No. It's a good point, because it's just fail no matter what the manufacturer is.
Okay, we'll take the story we talked about for Waterstones, substitute Waterstones for WH Smith. But basically, they're coming out with a model, although they are in the right price range, 90 quid, 110 quid. So at least they're not outpricing themselves, but why would you go for that when you can just buy the Kindle?
Unless they're looking for that mum and dad market where they shop in WH Smith quite a lot and they don't know about things like what's Amazon and what's Kindle. But I think I think if they'd done that 5 years ago, they would have had a chance.
And but if they
everybody knows Amazon.
Yeah. Everyone does.
A trusted brand. Smith's, 5-10 years ago would have been
if they run EPUBs format, and Google's announcement, releasing all these things, maybe it becomes more compelling, but not really.
No. Fail.
Right. Do you want to take your story here?
Hey. What do you mean my story? So there's a shopping centre up here called Brayhead Shopping Centre. And it's a fairly big shopping centre. And it's actually where the new Apple store has opened up. So it's one of these kind of mall size Apple stores. And a couple of Fridays ago, basically they accused a father of taking illegal pictures of his daughter. He was sitting eating an ice cream. So the guard asked this chap to delete the photos taken on his mobile phone. And Mr. White, who was the guy who we're talking to, says, I've taken two photographs and I've already posted them on Facebook. There's little point in me deleting the pictures now when they're already online. The guard then says, remain right there. I'm calling the police. And sure enough, the police were called. So of course the daughter was in tears for all this. Two uniformed policemen came up and actually said there's signs up saying that they shouldn't be taking photos. And the chap was actually quite adamant that he'd been careful about taking photos. He'd made sure there was nobody in the background. He was wanting to make sure that nobody could see anything. And the reason it got such a big reaction, I mean, Brayhead were also, they were starting to allege it was some sort of terrorist, you know, threat that he was taking these photos. So this all happened on the Friday and it kind of bubbled over the weekend and nothing much happened with it. But on the Monday and Tuesday, it exploded. You know, so all over Twitter, Facebook, and I was seeing it. I'd seen it at a local level. But then you were seeing, and I don't know if Stephen Fry did retweet it, but it was people like him retweeting it, saying, you know, like, you know, shopping centre fail and all that kind of stuff. And I'm thinking, this is blowing up. And sure enough, somebody created a Facebook page saying, let's boycott Brayhead. And they got 10,000 people signed up to it within the space of a couple of afternoons. The police, strangely, they just issued a statement saying, we had nothing to do with this. So there was a little bit of doubt about the actual chap himself and whether he just spun this.
Yeah, but, Mr. White, also yes. Mr. Pink and Mr. Black.
Yeah, exactly. It was of all the names, it was just like Mr. White. I guess the good bit is Brayhead eventually came to their senses and a few days later says, look, we've changed our policy, not only in Brayhead, but across all of our shopping centres. You can take pictures. And they thanked everybody for having a public debate around about their policy. And they apologised to Mr. White for the distress it was caused. Just bizarre. And
it's weird how these things spark a imagination of people.
I remember Shaquille years ago when we were talking about going out and taking photos one day, he says, I feel a bit, you know, somebody might come up and, you know, challenge us and say something, you know, if we're in, you know, middle of shopping centre or middle of town taking a photo. And you do hear these odd sporadic, you know, some crazy policeman's coming up and saying, what are you doing? I believe you're doing something. I don't know. It's
allowed
obvious
to take photos in public places of people in public areas.
I know.
Anyway, yeah. So
crazy.
It is crazy. Let's get on to, let's do a bit of gaming. So PlayStation have announced the UK deals for their Vita platform. They're going to have a Wi-Fi only model for £230. You got 3D edition, £280. And they're coming 22nd of February.
And I think that's quite cheap.
Yeah, for the considering hardware. I reckon they'll be losing out money on that hardware, looking to make sales. Still remains exactly the same issue that I have with any mobile platform is who buys them? I don't know who buys them nowadays.
I've got no interest in buying it, but I was amazed at the price. I mean, that is a pretty...
It's an amazing bit of hardware for that much money, and why wouldn't you get the 3D edition for, you know, another £50?
And while we're talking about games, we've probably missed a few big game releases, but Forza 4 is out.
Oh, it's good.
That should have been your pick, actually.
Yeah, it could have been, couldn't it? So let's talk about it like it's a pick. So, Forza 4 is out now in all good retailers, and it is a good game. If you like driving games, go get it. Although, if you played the last one and you weren't that keen on it, you're probably not going to be keen on this as well because it's pretty much the same, but more of the same.
And it's slightly prettier and it's slightly smoother.
Oh, it's a lot prettier. And it's 60 frames per second locked in. I get a bit excited about driving games. but probably the best thing is all the social integration that it's got between inside the game. And its rivals mode is just, it's very clever. So effectively, it lets you set times on tracks. And if you beat your mate, it will go and tell your mate that you've beaten him or her. And they will then try and beat you back. It sounds like a simple idea, but it's quite compelling to, you know, just to keep moving goals.
Exactly. The way it's been done does make you go, I need to go and beat that time.
And you get a good reward if you do happen to beat your mate's time. And they've got reasonably priced car they got from Top Gear. And it's awesome.
The things that I noticed straight away, you don't need to grind. So see when Forza 3 came out, there were so little cars unlocked that if I played you, so you're into your racing games, you're going to invest some time. I enjoy them, but not as much as you. So I'll have a quarter, you know, a sixth of the cars that you've got, which made it a bit I'm not saying it was a bit more empty, but it was just like, oh, if I want to get the decent cars, I'm going to have to grind through some of the offline modes, which aren't as interesting. You know, some of the AI is not the best. But this has got loads of cars and all the tracks unlocked as well. So you can just go and race.
And racing online earns you almost as many points as racing offline. Absolutely. And every single thing you do on it earns you points and prizes, basically. So it's almost brash with it. It just dishes out points here, left, right, and center. And it's amazing the depth of it. I agree. I think it's much nicer that you can unlock the game any way you like rather than having to grind it. Because once you get to the races where you have to do 10 laps of really long track, it loses interest for everyone, I think.
And when I get to that point, I just switch off. It's like I'll play the online side of things, you know, and Rivals will keep that going, and just meeting up for the occasional, you know, night with friends and having a blast around the track, fantastic. I'm interested in doing 10-20 lap tracks,
there are so many, and there's aspects of the game here that there'll be other people looking forward to this just purely for the car painting and social features of that side of things. And I haven't even opened that bit up. I've not even looked in there, not changed, I've not upgraded any car yet.
It's just
a ginormous game that offers a lot of things to a lot of different people. If you like cars, you'll like the game somewhere along the way. It's good stuff. Also got Batman sat there waiting for me to play tonight, the new Arkham City, which you were saying before is ranking it right up there with the Metacritic.
So it's got Metacritic's up at 95%. It's in the top 5-6 games ever on the Xbox 360. I've marked that down as one of my Christmas games because just with all the multiplayer gaming just now, you know, there's long life in FIFA. Forza's got long legs. And over the next 3 weeks, you've got Call of Duty and Battlefield. And I don't know which one, if any, I'll pick up.
No, I'm exactly the same. I don't know with which one, if any.
I really fancy going Battlefield because Call of Duty's kind of hacked me off the last few games. You know, I just feel it's more.
But you just
know
it's going to be an epic game again, though, because they're good at it.
I know. But Battlefield is always, I've always said it's always a place in my heart. I don't know. It's always that little.
The biggest thing that worries me about Modern Warfare is the fact that they're pandering at the moment to their elite gamers.
Yeah.
Whereas people like you and me were already feeling like we were left out. So we're gonna feel even more owned, I think.
Yes.
If we get it. So that's my worry about that game.
Although I still fancy my chances in Halo. But that's just my inbuilt ego, which soon then disappears when I realise my skill.
Okay, so that's kind of the gaming arena. So big games out, big games coming up. Good stuff. This one, a story you talked about a while back. Now, this was the camera which didn't have or had infinite depth of field, I guess. So you didn't really have to worry about focus. You didn't have to focus anything because you could use post-processing to focus wherever you liked in the picture.
Yep. So you just took a picture, and they had examples on their website where you could basically just click to focus and it just totally changed the photo. And I thought, that's... You know, see, once they get that down to it, that's what's on the iPhone. You know, see, if Apple bought this and it was on the iPhone 5, that would be a jaw-dropping feature. That would be the one that would be like, oh, I'm buying my phone for that. Because then you are just point and click. Now, they've now come out with their... And I guess there was a lot of people interested. A lot of people were like, huh.
We weren't sure whether this thing was just going to be this massive, you know... massive block of a camera or whether it's going to be so expensive that it was ridiculous. Neither are the case.
No, so what the camera is now out for pre-order only in America. So
surprise, surprise.
Yeah, it's a bit annoying, but for $400 or $500 for a slightly more advanced version, the Lytro is now available. Similar to the article that I read it in was Mashable, and they did point out as well, they've taken some cues from Apple, keeping it really simple. Kind of clean design.
It's a bizarre looking thing.
It's basically a long cube.
Yeah, a cube that you've extruded more.
And
I think they call it an oblong, don't they?
And I think they said it was just basically one. You've got a and they've described it as a viewfinder with a rubberized end. telling you the double entendres I'm going to get tonight are great. But there's 8 gig of storage. Which they're saying is enough for 350 of these light field pictures. And for $100 more, you get 16 gig. which obviously takes you up to 750 pictures, and you'll get a fire red design. But the battery life as well is quite a selling point. They reckon you can fill it up in a single charge, and it's about 2 weeks of battery time with regular usage, because you're not going to go out and zap, you know, 300 pictures all at once. I really want to try one. I really want to have one and just, you know.
I don't think it will be that long before we see them over here for at least demo purposes. So
yeah,
it's a game changer in some respects. I'd be interested to see how long it takes to take a photo, whether it takes any longer than normal, or, you know, and how it ends up looking when you actually use it in real world.
Yeah, and one thing that they pointed out as well is that the actual size of the picture is quite limited. You know, so it's not so that there are some limitations, but it's version one. You know, if you go back to the first digital camera, 10, 12 years ago, that were down at 1 megapixel or whatever.
And that was a massive thing, yeah.
And you look at where we are, and people were pointing out, what's the point of digital? You know, it's like I get a better picture from my film. And you think where we are now.
So only relatively recently that there has been that swap over from film to digital as a viable alternative.
I just think, you know, this to me is one of the big kind of game changers. You know, we don't see these too often. And
it'd be interesting to see where it goes. I think it's going to be a game changer, as in I think that we'll see this as a feature of your regular phones. Your regular cameras.
And my gut feel is that I think the DSLRs will just ignore it totally. I think it's going to be I think they'll eventually get it, whatever they're doing, they'll get it down to a size where a camera will be doing it. A camera phone will be doing it. I mean, lots of people are using they're saying the iPhone 4S, and I guess the latest Amazon ones as well, they are replacing point and shoots now. They are good enough. They are quick enough. You know, they can do the multiple photos. Certainly in the Apple Store last week, I was able just to photo. It was that quick.
I have no idea whether I'm talking out my rear end here, and I probably am, but I think this technology might need
a
bigger area, you know, a sensor that takes up bigger area than a phone would have to offer.
You mean a big long tube?
I don't necessarily think it needs a big long tube, but I think it needs that cube-type shape to fit the sensor in. That's just, I'm probably talking out my backside, so ignore all that anyway. And let's get on some pics. If someone wants to send us a demo model, then we're open to that.
Especially as the desktop software only supports Mac. So we are a Mac house now. So
we are completely Mac produced. There we go. Was that begging enough? Probably.
I'm going to be posh than that. I'm going to send a letter.
Hey, signed with ink.
Letter to the editor. Dear sirs.
I'm going to call Forza my pick. So we talked about that earlier. And let's have your pick for today, please.
My pick is Press Pause Play. So if you visit the website, presspauseplay.com, it's a documentary all about, digital arts. You know, so film, music, literature, and how things have now changed. The interesting thing about this documentary, not only is it pretty good, because it is pretty good, I've watched it, and you can buy it on iTunes for $9.99, or you can rent it, or you can buy it on Amazon, but you can just download the torrent for free and watch it. So there's no excuse if you're interested. I think if you've got any interest in digital media, it's worthwhile downloading and watching. Some interesting points. There are some twats in it as well, I've got to be honest, but I think you're going to get that with some arty-farty folk. They're just like, oh, cheeso. But generally, I found it quite a good one.
Is it more cheesy than the Apple keynote videos?
Less.
Good.
But it wouldn't be hard.
That would be really high.
Seeing it's an hour and a half of We Are Great.
With white backgrounds. And
tell me, see if there's candles involved at the next one. They have jumped the shark. Yeah. Is that too soon?
It's probably too soon. All right, so that's www.presspauseplay.com for that. Good stuff. And that is the end of our show. As ever, if you want to find out more, we are on www.digitaloutbox.com. Email us if you want. info@digitaloutbox.com. Twitter and Skype as Digital Outbox. I am on Twitter as Cheesy UK, and Ian, we can find you
on Twitter as Shreeper, and my fantastic blog is at iand.net. click on the adverts. Give me some money.
Get clicking.
Get clicking.
Thank you very much for listening, and we will talk at you soon.
Goodbye. That was a disturbingly kind of camp goodbye as well.
Goodbye.
It was like Alan Carr with a Scottish accent and fixed teeth.
It was just,
no, that's just wrong.
Where did that come from?
The best bit is I've got in video.
Brilliant.
Click, click, click.
All right, time to play Batman.